All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grim's Drunken Rants. Now, I said I was going to do one without a beer, but you didn't hear that one because I didn't fucking post it. I did it yesterday, and, you know, I don't even think I did drink on that one. No, I didn't. That was when I watched the jazz panel, and I made a 30-minute thing, so it wasn't even really a rants video. But this one is, and we're going to talk about some things that I said I was going to talk about in the video that I didn't post. And the reason why I didn't post isn't because it was a bad video. It's because the game footage was Ys Ark of Nepishtim, and it pushes my computer so far because it's a 20-year-old game, and they're trying to basically use every fucking facet that Windows has to make it work. So it literally had my CPU at 95 degrees despite its age. So, yeah. Needless to say, my PC is not running like a jet engine right now. And this game just came out, obviously. But a 20-something-year-old game? Wow. I thought my fucking computer was going to explode. So I won't be able to record anything from that game, even though I had done a few videos, completely unaware that I was melting my CPU. Aside from all that, though, we've got some things to talk about. So, like, I was on X, as I am recently, and basically, there's people... There's this one guy, I don't know if we could say people, I've been looking at the comments and such, but there's this one guy that's pretty much saying, oh, you gotta stop your young, and he's a young black man himself, and he's saying, you gotta stop your brothers or whatever from getting into that Manosphere bullshit. And I'm like, okay, so basically what you're saying is, the Manosphere got toxic. Now, some people would say, well, I mean, that was kind of the point of the Manosphere, to be more of like, yeah, stay toxic and all that, you know? But, like, the Grifters really fucked everything up, as I thought they would. Like, I thought the Grifters were gonna ruin everything. That's what they do. And... it went into this whole thing of just devaluing women completely. And I don't know. It's just hard for me to kind of talk about. Because, yeah, I was a Manosphere creator. And, I mean, we still have some red pill stuff. And there's a lot of guys that, you know, mocked him on there and said he was stupid and an idiot. And, of course, he's like, well, I don't want him to be simps either. It's like... and they're saying, well, it's better that they be red-pilled than be a simp. And it's just fucking ridiculous. And there was this one woman that was... a black woman, by the way, that was arguing. This is mostly black community, because I could tell by the lingo, you know. And basically, she said something about, oh, you're a Zionist. I've got to block you or something. The guy's like, what? What are you talking about? We're having a conversation about a different thing, and you want to block me because of some genocide and war? She said, well, there's a genocide and war, and if you support that... It's like, dude, what the fuck? And he said, I really don't fucking care about this shit because it isn't real life. And she goes and says, oh, yes, it is. And that's the fucking problem. We got these women that have absolutely nothing going on in their life, that social media has to be their bane of existence. That's probably because that's where all their simps are, right? And they're like, so you just want them to cut their dicks off? And it's like, oh, well, that's just extreme cases. And there was this one guy that was saying, well... he was saying, what was he saying? He's saying something like, being a feminist, a radical feminist, there's nothing wrong with being a radical feminist. And I was like, okay, dude, so we have to think about the beginnings of feminism. First of all, I got nothing against women wanting to do the same stuff as men, and there's some that I have come across that absolutely can do it. And there's others that really push themselves harder than they need to. Remember, I've got two female bosses, and I can see when they're frazzled and completely out of it. And they don't have the kind of discipline that some male bosses can have. Even though I get rather fucking vocal about shit. Yeah, I can see it. But anyway, what I'm saying is, yeah, there is definitely roles that women can accomplish when it comes to, like, previously held men's positions and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, I think so. But the problem is, the guy was like, oh, yeah, there's nothing wrong with radical feminism. Okay, well, first of all, as TFM noted, and of course I had to bring up, it all started with the suffragette firebombings of 1912 and 1914. Yeah, suffragette firebombings and arsons. Look that up. If you don't give us our rights, we will burn your fucking house down. That's literally what it was. And a lot of people said, are you serious, Grimm? Yeah, I'm serious. That's literally how that shit started. And I've got a friend of mine, she's a lesbian therapist. Yes, she's a therapist, she's also a lesbian. Older woman, you know, she's kind of in her, I guess she's in her 40s. And basically, she said, alright, so I grew up reading a lot of the feminist literature of the 70s, the 1970s. And she said, if you think that the radical feminism, or what you guys are calling it, is bad now, you wouldn't believe the kinds of things that they talked about in those books of the 1970s. She says it was frightening and shocking to her. And what we have now is, you know, what they call third wave feminism is nothing compared to what it was like, what they were trying to do in the 70s. Obviously, the 70s was a very free love period. And people had different attitudes on sex and all that sort of situation than they do now. Some would say different, but I don't know. I think it was a whole lot different situation when you were doing a lot of more on-foot meetup and stuff like that. It wasn't just, I don't know. It was a different age. I wouldn't say we have an age of free love now. It's like the hippie days and all that stuff in the 60s and 70s, that's different. But, oh yeah, it was rough, guys, generally. And, people don't know that. Like, the guy that was basically, or the woman, I don't know. It's hard to tell with a profile picture that's a cartoon character. But that person probably isn't familiar with, hold on. I'm trying to figure out how to heal. Whoa. We gotta watch it. Don't want to get too drunk, but I do want to take care of these guys. Oh, let's take care of her. Oh, man, it made it a little hard. Yes, this is an adult game, but that don't mean it's easy. But yeah, I mean, it's a different generation. You can tell that people are moving away from the Metasphere. That's why I've changed my entire BitChute, you know, because we have this new thing on the BitChutes where we can basically describe our channel when you first jump onto it. And I don't know if that was in the original, but I don't remember it being there. Anyway, it gives the full description of our channel, and I think it does a very good job. And we talk about the news in a post-manosphere world. And I say post-manosphere because I definitely believe we're in the post-manosphere now. We're definitely past a lot of that. And, of course, we're now at that point where, like, a lot of people were red-pilled, especially in the black community, and now, oh, no, it's all bad, and blah, 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 because they want to try to appeal to the women again. Which, I can't deny that some of it, of course, was grifting and fucked up. Like, Andrew Tate, and all that. You know, Andrew Tate really was the tipping point for the Manosphere. The Manosphere was dead after he jumped in and started his shit. Because that's when it started getting popular. And usually when something gets overly popular, that's about the time it starts to die for people that, you know, I've been a part of it. Whether it be a hobby or a... I mean, it was never a movement, you know. I don't think it was a movement. I'd not consider it a movement. But it's definitely dead. And it needs to die. Now, Asmund Gold, he kinda somewhat keeps that alive. And Penguin Zero, of course, he's been debunking some points and stuff like that. You're gonna see this. Like, you're gonna see a lot of anti-Manosphere content, obviously because of YouTube also, and of course that's how they make their money. So they're going to stop doing what is no longer a grift. If they can't grift from it, they've got to do something else, right? So, I mean, it is what it is. Even if those guys held some of those beliefs, they're not going to ever talk about it again, because they don't want to be lumped in with Tate.
Sweet.
Tate was it. Like, after Tate, that was the end of it. And I think we've all kind of come to that agreement. After Fresh and Fit fucked up, you know, I mean, it was done. About that time, it was done for most of us. Scrap iron. Ooh, kill that thing. I wish it did something else besides just, you know. It says immune. How long would it take to kill it? I mean, you can kill it. It just takes a while. By the way, this is a 1.7 version of the game, so a lot's been fixed. All the funny things that happened during my preview of the game are gone now. He's fixed them all. He's fixed them all a while back. He's been updating this throughout June. And yeah, this will be on other platforms pretty soon. So yeah, right now it's just all Steam, but yeah, it'll be on other platforms. He says he wants it everywhere, and I hope he does put it everywhere. It's a fun little game. These archers. I don't like archers. I already told you because of that scene in the Fellowship of the Ring. That's why I don't like archers. Well, I don't have that kind of power. So I can go up there and do that though. Damn! Guys, really fucking powerful. Alright, so yeah, I did have other stuff to talk about. I'm trying not to die. He's gonna get drunk. He's gonna get drunk. You can't ride the horse anymore, apparently. He just stopped you from riding the horse. Man, it made it a little harder, I say. That man's back was turned, and he still managed to... All right, hold on. Intense medicine. Oh, I didn't know I had that. Oh, they've got this working a lot better now, guys. Okay, so I got this axe. So I've got the toxic. I don't want the toxic axe. Flimsy axe. Strong axe. Strong club. Sturdy club. The hangman's tongue. Fishing rod, of course. Strong spear. Flimsy sword. Still cut some motherfuckers though. Okay. Strong whip, not playing Castlevania. Wrist irons. No, I've got the Avoncraft bracers now. The Avoncraft axe is good, but I'm gonna try with the flimsy sword. Yeah, I like that. Let's see. I need a man to kill. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I like using swords. But, okay, so what else do I have to talk about today? Well, first thing I need to talk about is the Neil Gaiman situation. So, Neil Gaiman, he's basically been Me Too'd based on two girls' reports. The first one, well, it doesn't look good because her account actually does seem to hold some weight, unfortunately. It still could be bullshit, but it holds some weight as to, you know, how she recounted it. But the other one is like, oh, well, it was painful sex that I didn't want and didn't enjoy. And it's like, eh, I don't know. I think you just want to get some money off this guy, right? Because Neil Gaiman, he's a, kind of a household name now. Some of you may know Neil Gaiman from the Coraline movie. Or some of you may know him from the Sandman books, or Miracle Man, which he's done a little bit of Miracle Man. Of course, Alan Moore did the bulk of it. Because it was Gaiman that was supposed to do the Silver and Bronze Age. And he did a little bit of Silver Age, and he never, I don't think he finished it. Because there was a court case of there. Alright, so I hope this isn't... Haven't we been here? We've been here. We've been here. This is back at the beginning. Shit. It's open world, so what do you expect? It's weird that he kind of... You see how he gets stuck on those platforms? But yeah, I don't know what the deal with Gaiman is going to be. Maybe it won't be that bad, or maybe he'll get lumped in with the same shit that Warren Ellis also got lumped in. Of course, Warren Ellis had an entire site against him. It was like somanyofus.com. I was like, holy shit, Mr. Ellis, what did you get up to? I mean, people still love his comics, you know, especially Transmetropolitan, which we read on the channel, and people really seem to enjoy. There was one person that told me it's their favorite comic book on my YouTube channel. I was really pleased to hear that because I loved it as well, and I think it was a woman. So, yeah, even though people may not forgive him for, you know, what he did, which he didn't do anything sexually. I want to put this clear. Warren Ellis didn't do anything. He didn't touch anybody. He sent a bunch of very lewd, maybe disturbing comments to the wrong women, or women that thought they could get something off him, because he was starting to build a reputation in Hollywood. If you remember the movie Red, with Bruce Willis, I believe, and Red 2, those were based on his comic book by the same name. And, of course, the Castlevania stuff that he had done. It had never played a single Castlevania. I still find that hard to believe, but had never played a single game of Castlevania in his life. And Netflix picked him to do their famous Castlevania adaptation. So yeah, he was starting to get somewhere, and then the allegations came out right about the end of Castlevania, about that final season before they did the new one. And when I mean new one, I mean the Nocturne one. Yeah, different series. But yeah, it was looking bad for Ellis. Only if you're a person that doesn't like when people, I don't know, say bad things to women online. And I don't, he wasn't talking to minors. I want to put that clear. He was just talking to regular women and just basically saying some things that, you know, are maybe sexually inappropriate, or maybe they were even received well at the time. But because of his fame and all that, maybe some of these women thought, well, you know, I can get this man in trouble for this. I might be able to get some money out of it. We don't know for sure. We don't know the whole situation. All I know is that, I mean, he wasn't jailed. He wasn't arrested or anything like that. It's just public shame and you're never working the comic industry again. And that's pretty much as far as it went. I don't even know what he's doing anymore. I guess getting old with all of his money that he's got left from all the projects. I'm sure Netflix paid him quite a big royalty check for all the Castlevania. But yeah, so that's done. And of course, Neil Gaiman was against him. Neil Gaiman's like, I'm a feminist. And I was like, okay. Mate, I did read your early works when you were talking about a guy that was imagining the perfect woman and all this, hey, and he's fucking her. Like, it got really sexual, dude. He's written some really sexual stuff back in the day. But now he's older, and I guess he's like, oh, well, I've learned my lesson. Time to respect women now and all this other thing. And we're not talking about that, oh, don't respect women as in, like, yeah, I got no problems with women as far as that's concerned, but he's basically saying, oh, you can't have any lusty thoughts about women anymore or anything like that. It's a different situation. I don't know. I know the biker jacket wearing Neil of years past. Yeah, he used to wear like a biker jacket. It used to be his big thing. He's like, I'm cool. And he was into the occult, you know, pretty heavy. I talked to a guy that ran the occult shop that Neil had bought a lot of his books from. A young Neil Gaiman. Oh, can I actually go through and go through this area now? No, I guess I can't. Damn that worm. Though, yes, that's pretty much all we have for Neil Gaiman. I mean, we don't really know that much more about it. I guess I can go more in detail. If I decide to do a supplementary show, I don't know if I'm going to do a supplementary show. I'm kind of trying to enjoy my vacation a little bit, guys. But we'll probably get back with that and just do kind of a roundup. DP is better also. He did have to basically rush himself to the hospital because he had a what he thought was a pneumonia. And it turned out to be a bad bug. And of course he stayed overnight for observation. And they found out, you know, it was just a bad bug. He probably caught something from the many patrons at the casino. Remember, there's a large population of Asians. And why I say that's important is because many of these are Asians that come back and forth to their home areas. So they may have things like dengue fever and things like that that you can get in the Philippines, which we have a lot of Filipinos that come in. It's no big deal. I'm actually closer to the Philippines in my area than most people will ever get to the Philippines because I live next to a casino. And that's also one reason I'm not walking into the casino. Because Grim here, that, oh, I want a Filipino wife. There's about 100 million of them there in that casino, and I'm not gonna be the one tall man that they look at and, you know. Yeah, you don't want to give in to that. Because it's not good. But she might know Japanese, Grim, and she could, yeah, that's a possibility, but, you know, it's just one of those things. Plus, I don't really have too much business gambling, even though I have some kind of spare money right now. Not gonna really focus on that too much. Alright, I am gonna fight. Oh! Hold on. Man, I've just had to use so much healing stuff. Probably got so much bullshit. Wrist irons. Sturdy sword. Well, oh, I got a toxic sword. I got a flimsy. Why is the flimsy sword so good? Toxic sword should poison them. Ideally. It does. It's not as strong, but it does poison him. See how much I'm constantly having to drink potions? The potions don't do shit. And I can't even go down there for some reason. Thank you. You know. Can imagine being one of those knights coming back to his wife. So what did you do, honey? I held the pole nice and steady. Every time there was a man, I raised the pole and tried to pike him. Just, yeah! Did you get any? No, unfortunately they jumped over my pole, and I couldn't do anything but stand there. Like, I'll tell all the girls my man is so brave. He held the pole. He just held the pole like a good soldier. Oh, man. Come on. I don't know if I'm supposed to burn something or... You saw where I burned and there was like, I don't know. Wow. And set the water on fire. Wow. Oh, I'm sure I can go down there, but I've got nothing of value there. There's a fish, though. Can I kill it? Oh, shit! Oh, man. So, that was the last thing I had to talk about. Yeah, because I'd like to start E's soon. That's cool. I forgot about Berserker mode. I don't need it now, but... Yeah, that was cool. So, anyway, there was one more thing I wanted to talk about. Oh, yeah. Why I killed the site. So, I'll pause it for this. So, I killed the site for a very good reason. I killed the site because, basically, there was a video. And I've actually posted it in my server. And it's really, really, really good. I've never heard of this guy before. But, I'll actually go to it and show you exactly who we're talking about here. This guy is... Let's see. Rick Beato. The real reason why music is getting worse. And I like Rick Beato. He's an older man that seems to know a lot about music. By the way, let me go ahead and Google the guy so I can actually... He is an American YouTube personality, a multi-instrumentalist, music producer, and educator. Since the early 1980s, he's worked variously as a musician, songwriter, audio engineer, and record producer. He's lectured on music at several universities. He's 62, from New York. He owns and operates Black Dog Sound Studios in Stone Mountain, Georgia. He's produced and worked with bands such as Need to Breathe, Parmalee, and Shine Down in the studio. Remember Shine Down? He's known for his YouTube channel on which he covers different aspects of rock, jazz, blues, techno, rap, and popular music, as well as interviews with well-known musicians and producers. So let's see here. So, you know, he's done a few things, but what's important is this guy actually knows music from a production level, a production standpoint. Like, he knows how the drums are supposed to sound. He knows how their drums are supposed to be... He knows how the drums are supposed to be recorded. And this is something that I didn't know. He said it's actually really difficult to record drums. And basically, one of the things he noted is there's a big difference between a drum sample and actual drums being played by a human being. And the drum sample and the drum being played by a human being, he showed them both. He played them both. He played the real man playing it. And he said, you notice the swing there? And he said, that's not there in the sample. It sounds close, but it's not 100%. And he says, a lot of people are doing that now because, I mean, there's so many records I've listened to with drum machines, obvious drum machines. And even if they're good, like, you know, Devin Townsend, he programs all that stuff, and he's actually fairly good at it. But it's still much, much different. And one thing he said is music is too easy to make. And because it's too easy to make, and because these trap beats, like you notice these trap beats are everywhere, he explained why the auto-tune is used so much, why the trap beats are used so much, because they're very, very simple to produce. I mean, stupidly simple. Anybody can produce a trap beat and play with auto-tune. Anybody on the planet. And that is an issue. Because when music is too easy to make, then it becomes cheap and worthless. And another thing, the Spotify, the streaming, all that. He said, back in the day, and I can attest to this, guys, when I was a young man, we had to work for our fucking records. Now, this might sound crazy to you guys, but I used to work my ass off hoping that I could get a new record from a band at the local record shop, right? And sometimes it's hard to go because it was at the mall, right? Like, other than that, I'd have to see what the pawn shops had, you know, what other people, you know, had gotten tired of. And I mean, that's where I got a lot of music. My first Pantera record was a pawned off Reinventing the Steel. It wasn't until I had happened upon a friend who had a copy of Vulgar Display of Power that skipped that I was able to actually hear that one, you know. Deftones Adrenaline was the first record I heard because somebody pawned it off. One time somebody pawned off the Chevelle record just as it came out because I guess they didn't like it. I still have that record. I mean the case and all. I don't mean just the CD. Some of them were just the CD, like the Reinventing the Steel and Adrenaline was just the CD. But, the Chevelle was brand new. I mean, there was a lot of times that would happen. And, I would get a lot of different music like that. I got a Living Sacrifice record, that way. I think it was Rebirth. And I got a lot of metal and rock that way. I got a Lords of Acid record, Lords of Acid Pussy. It was one of the first ones I got. I didn't really know what they were. It's basically, you just had to look at the record and maybe kind of, you know, see who the band was. Because you had no idea how to tell sometimes if it didn't say so on the disc. And that's just how the guy sold them. Now, he's obviously old and doesn't do it anymore and doesn't even sell electronics or games. That's how I would get games back in the day, too. But yeah, that's pretty much, I walked everywhere. So that's where I got a lot of the stuff is just from pawn shops. And every once in a while, you know, I would be able to go up to the mall and grab a new record. And, you know, when I worked in the mall, it was pretty cool. Because I could actually, I mean, it wasn't much longer before that record shop closed down in the mall. But there was a few things I could get from there. And I always would go to the, because in my record shop, basically, they had the option where you could take the records that you didn't like and basically sell them back. And they had a section where basically you could buy the discounted records, and I got Nile there, and it was, I can't remember what Nile record, it was their fourth record, In Their Darkened Shrines, and I love that record, and I also got Demolition, and it was a promo Demolition, Judas Priest, and I also got their live concert there, so there was a lot of stuff. I got Slayer, Seasons in the Abyss there was a lot of stuff I got just at the pawn shop there, just so much stuff. But there's a lot of records I bought straight out. Like, a lot of my Cradle of Filth records I bought. And I saved up money. I worked hard. I didn't have a lot of money. So, you know, I couldn't just go and buy, like, a bunch of records. I had to, you know, really think about the ones I wanted. So I bought, you know, the different records that, you know, that appealed to me. I bought all the Cradle. I didn't know what Cradle this would sound like or that, but I would get, like, Lovecraft and Witch Hearts, which was a collection, or then I'd get Damnation of the Day. You know, I never did get Midian. Still don't have a copy of Midian. There's some Iced Earth I bought that way. There was just so many different records that I had picked up in that fashion. And of course, you know, there was always the internet. And we actually had a different kind of sweat. Now, this is hard for you guys to understand, but when you had to download records on a 56K connection, you're talking about a couple of hours for a song to download. A single song. So, you had to basically leave your computer on and hopefully you would download, like I used Soulseek, right? And sometimes it would have promos. I remember one time getting a promo Dark Tranquility of Fiction 4 months before it came out. That was fucking cool. I didn't know I'd ever actually be working with their label later on, you know, in my life. You know, at one time I was working with that label. But, that was fucking cool. Getting Bal Shugoth, their last record, The Chthonic Chronicles, and having to wait hours for every single song to download. And then being able to listen in entirety, you know, having to download song by song. And it took a while, guys. We're talking about you really waited. When you were trying to download, like, Limp Bizkit or Metallica, or was it Dragon Ball? I was listening to a lot of the Dragon Ball Z Japanese themes and stuff like that that come out. Just whatever I could get, Disturbed, all that kind of stuff. I was listening to it, just downloading it right off. And it took a while. Like, it literally took a while. And, you know, I mean, it was like just a few records that I could get at a time. So I soaked them in because I'd listen to them constantly. I'd go back and listen to those records, like at Sixes and Sevens. I would listen to that one from Serenia. The Tristania stuff, I'd listen to that over and over again. I would basically read the magazines, because that's what we had that would come out. And the magazines would tell us what records, you know, to check out. So I'd go get this, I'd go download this and that, and this one and that one. And, you know, and that's how I got to listen to a lot of the music, because I didn't have any money and I really didn't have, you know, a good job, all that kind of situation. And that's pretty much the best I could do. And, you know, I'd go back and listen to a lot of the same records. Of course, you know, I did buy the Mudvayne LD50. I did buy the Dream Theater live scenes from New York prior to the 9/11. So I don't have the 9/11 cover. I did buy... was it Octavarian Train of Thought? I love that record, man. One experience I love was listening to Train of Thought and just really soaking that in and playing it over and over and over again. That's still their heaviest record. Train of Thought's their heaviest, thrashiest, hardest record. And then Octavarian, and realizing how awful it was, I didn't like that disc at all, even though I have a copy. That was another thing you had to deal with. Regret buying a bad album. And of course, you know, the Chevelle, when I got that, I was like, well, this is different, but I really liked it. Like, I soaked it in. I had the chance to soak it in, to really listen to it again and again and again and get it. Like, when I got the tools, because there was a friend of mine that had a bunch of records. So, well, he was a guy I went to school with, and he would burn records for me, like Slipknot and Tool and Godsmack and stuff like that. And you know, that's the way I got to hear a lot of records, and I would soak them in, constantly, just listening. It was like Christmas, you know, you'd get a new record in, like, oh my god, this is amazing, that's great, you know, just, that's how I got some of this stuff. Now, I do still have, even though I don't have the case for it, I do still have the original pressing of Slipknot with the Purity, which was removed later, because it was supposed to be about a real girl. But yeah, like I said, it took a lot more. It took a lot more work, whether we're downloading and spending a long time downloading. We're not talking torrents that go in seconds. Guys, I know torrents. I do torrents. You can get a record that just came out, and you can get it in a click. A click, like a snapping of my fingers, it's done. I'm serious, like, real, and it still blows my fucking mind. Like, boom, it's done. Wow, okay, well, that came out today. That came out today. That came out today. It's crazy. It's so fast. And, you know, they have the, and the record labels know, like the Zaster record, Zaster, black metal band. I noticed that the label just put the fucking whole record up. They're like, fuck it, here's, it's on YouTube. You want to buy it, you can. Because it really has no value anymore. And, it was, a guy I know, I've had right in my sight, Central Scrutinizer, I may have talked about him. He's a former drummer, used to play in bands out there. And he's saying, it's true. It's like music has no value at all. None. There's no value whatsoever. And he's right. He's 110% right. Music is just literally download and, or not even download. I mean, I can because I'm an old fart and I like to keep the backups, but a lot of people just go to the Spotify or the Tidal, YouTube Music, YouTube in general. They'll just go to YouTube, even the guys I work with, they'll go to YouTube, they'll put in the music, and there they go. It's right there. I mean, usually they listen to singles or a lot of the same songs, so that is good. They're not just, you know. But to be fair, you got a lot of people that just, here's my playlist of all the records I've listened to. Here's my playlist. And you know what? It was normal for me because I was in the industry and I was asked to listen to hundreds of fucking records at a time. These kids worked. They're just like, it's all here. I might as well listen to it. And the thing is, like, when you're listening to, I don't know, Eminem's Marshall Mathers LP, which I played over and over and over again. That's the edited version. We had Kids instead of Kim. Remember the difference between Kids and Kim is Kids was like, drugs are bad. And Kim is a whole nother fucking thing. I didn't get that version. That's not the version we were allowed to have. And I think mine was censored. I'm not sure. But that's the version that we were playing. I remember Eminem's show and all that. But we only got them here and there, so we had to soak them in. Like when I would buy Flaw Through the Eyes, which I still have. I sat and played that one over and over again. Kid Rock, Devil Without a Cause, which I still have. I play that one over and over and over again. Like, again, it's because you only had a few records and you had to work for them. So you used your sweat and your blood and all that to actually work to buy that record, to support that artist. Power Man 5000, Tonight the Stars Revolt. Love that damn record. Great fucking record. Played the shit out of it. And yeah, again, you don't have that much. So you want to listen to it over and over and over and over again. And you soak it in a way that kids don't soak in records these days. And they get into critic attitudes because they're listening to so much music at one time that they can actually wear themselves out. You know. Where me, like, I can, you know, I've got the David Bowie discography, right? So, you know, it's a big mix on my playlist. And, you know, anytime Bowie will come on, he'll have a song, you know, I could just get into it. Because, you know, I'll soak that in. But I'll soak in anything. Like, if I'm hearing the Spine Shank song that I hadn't heard or don't remember, I can soak that in, you know? I mean, it's because I'm in that mentality where I can get into a song and think about how it feels. Now, I like what Beto said. He said straight up, he said, what I want you to do is to go listen to 3 songs. That's it. Just 3 songs and really let them soak in. Put your phone down, everything else. Just listen to those 3 songs and soak them in. And I got that mentality now where I can soak in a song. Like, if a song really hits me and I feel it and I get into it, like, yeah, it It does it for me. But I've also got a critic's mentality because I've listened to so much damn music that I can tell what I like and tell what I don't. It's like, ooh, I like this one. But then I may listen to it again and not like it. So that's the difference, you know. It's like, this might be off for me. That might be off for me. Like, I remember listening to this the first time and it didn't sound as good the second time around. Sometimes you've got to do that. You know, there's so many records that I soaked in because I constantly played them. Like all the early Blind Guardian records. I listened to them constantly, headbanging like a fiend. And just so much stuff, guys, that you don't get today. And when music is like the faucet, where he turns the faucet on, and it's just, he said, it's just going right down into the drain. It's just a steady stream. Nobody's soaking it in. It's just right down the drain. There's no point to where people are like, oh man, this is great. This is really awesome. And especially with hip hop, like, it's so throwaway now. It's like, oh, you hear so-and-so's new one? Oh yeah, that one's good, dog. Yeah, yeah, what about this one? Oh, that one's good, man. Yeah, that one. Like, that's it. It's always, I mean, these rappers have to keep making something because they won't listen to the same fucking songs like we did, where we can go back in the day and listen to, what is it, DMX, Eminem. Eminem's old now, guys, hate to tell you. You know, of course, you got, I mean, there's so many rappers that I could, Wu-Tang, I'm listening to some Wu-Tang. I like older Wu-Tang compared to the newer Wu-Tang. But, yeah, I like a lot of this older rap. Of course, suppose I'm listening to Drama by, Ice-T back in the day. Now, that right there, that'd take you back. That's like old school rap. That's when it was rap. And it's just, it's not that good anymore. I've listened to these guys, and, hold on. I mean, I've listened to these guys' music. You know, when they put this shit on and everybody's singing, they're having a good time. Like, I get it. I like it. That they enjoy it. But I don't personally enjoy it. Maybe because it doesn't affect me the same way. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's just a different generation. But to me, you know, it just seems really thrown together. You know, because the guy that's singing is singing through a filter. It's like all auto-tuned and cheap beats and everything else. But I guess because they like the keyboard sound, which T-Pain made famous, that's going to be their thing. That's what they like. That's hip-hop to them, as a boss I used to work for said. And one record, or one particular artist, rather, that I really recommend soaking in is a band called Arion. It's like the word Arion, but it's Arion. And it has nothing to do with that, so don't worry. But it's A-Y-R-E-O-N. He's an old... I actually did an interview with him. He's an old... just a progressive rock and metal musician, right? And he does these big operas, like Into the Electric Castle. And, what was that? The Human Equation. Really great. That's probably is going to be his heaviest, his most metal record is going to be that one. Even though 01001 is another one that is really good. And they actually did a live version of 01001. I don't know if they did Human Equation live yet. They may have. But these are records that you soak in. Because there's a story to tell. It's a opera. It's a rock opera. Sometimes it's like, it's more of a metal opera. I remember the first time hearing Human Equation, and my friend's like, man, dude, this is a metal opera. I'm like, what? He's like, oh yeah. And it's got like Devin Townsend, and it's got fucking James LaBrie from Dream Theater as the main vocalist, and it's got did it have Michael Akerfeld from Opeth? I'm not sure. I think he might have been in one of those. I'm not quite sure. But it had a lot of very famous musicians. There's even some that have Johan Edlund from Tiamat. This did some really sad. God, he did some sad songs. What was it? My Life on Mars. Oh my God, such a sad song. Don't listen to that if you're feeling down. That's like just isolated on Mars. It's horrible. I mean, it's a if you want a good gothic, you know, song, because that's what Johan Edlund does. He's more of a gothic musician. Unfortunately, Tiamat seems like they're probably finished. You know, they did the Scarred People years ago, and they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna make a new one. And years passed, and a decade passed, and hey, that doesn't mean they're not gonna make a new one. Kitty waited a decade before they made their new one this year, Fire. And I remember when they came out too, my grandmother fucking hated them. It's like, what's going on with these girls screaming? It's like, they're angry. Oh yeah, she's full feminist, but her fucking music is good. Like, that's the big difference. It's like, but it's like totally against things you believe in. Yeah, but the music's good. And that's hard for a lot of people to understand. Like, there's a lot of people that don't ascribe to my personal politics. But at the same time, I can't go up to them and say, oh, I don't like your music because you don't say what I want. I like your music because your music sounds good. That's the difference. You know? People really need to get over that. You know? I've never had an issue. There's even songs where they've literally talked about, like, shit that, like, just, you know, singling me out, right? Or singling different, I guess, I don't know. I don't even really call myself, I don't know, manosphere adjacent? It's hard to say because we don't do, like, those kind of videos. Like, it's not my thing. Like, I was in the past, but I'm not that guy anymore. Like, I'm not. I'm sorry. People change over time. And that's what happened to me. I changed over time, right? But yeah. Again, it's just a different age of listening to music on the radio and not being able to hear deep cuts. You know, having to go pick up the record if you wanted to hear the other song. And, you know, when you heard the single, you wanted to pick up the record because, of course, you wanted the, you want to hear the other songs. Like me, I wanted to hear the other songs. Some people, they just may have wanted the single. But I remember, and I may have said this before, when we were talking about Cold Chamber. Cold Chamber had a song like the roof is on fire, but we don't need no water, let that motherfucker burn. You know, I remember us blasting that shit as young kids down the road, you know, in a very religious neighborhood, and they thought we were the devil or something, right? That's just what we did. But, you know, it's just, it's a whole different story compared to what the kids do now. You know, I don't think I'm wrong on this one. Take the flimsy sword. What's the recipes? Recipes. An iron. I have iron? Yeah, I do. I think I do. So, what did I make? Just a fucking steel sword? Sturdy sword, but strong sword. Flimsy steel sword, that's what I made. That's pretty cool. Blindfold. Toxic axe. Toxic sword. What if I take the top? I don't think I have any more. I don't think I have any more scraps of fabric. Bone club. We're not gonna equip that. See, I really don't know where I'm supposed to go. Unless there's some kind of mission I need to take in this area. I'll ask for work.
I almost always have some chores that I would gladly pay to have done.
Rat problem. Exterminate as many as you can. Buy drink, make drink. Tavern improvements. Expansion sex dungeon. Expansion reflection chamber. I don't think we're gonna get that. She kind of turned into a monster there. Do you see that? Fuck. I remember this area. Confusing. I guess you can't. There must be something going on. They won't let you enter that area. Should be able to bring her the scraps of fabric.
I have some personal business that brought me to this area. Once I realized I can be very persuasive.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Naritha!
Thank you.
what's in here? Nothing. It says explore the cathedral. Alright guys, so yeah, I guess this will be the Grim Lord, and I will see you guys next time on Grim's Drunken Rants, when he got more stuff to rant about. You know, I am... Man, look at that guy. He's still walking. I am going to be out for a couple of days next week, as I said, so I don't know if we'll be doing Grim's Drunken Rants or not. I don't know. I got plenty of them saved up. So we'll just see. But at any rate, I'm out, and I'll see you next time.